The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Greetings, everyone. Why are the Ten Commandments fading from daily life as we know it? Or worse yet, being vigorously pushed aside, totally ignored, and finally, completely forgotten? And that is exactly what is happening. Just listen to these excerpts from an article recently published in the Christian Post, written by Catherine T. Fenn. We read, "Despite living in a country with a rich and still prevalent Christian heritage, as evident from the Pledge of Allegiance to the nation's motto, 'In God We Trust,' Americans were found to be more familiar with the ingredients of the McDonald's Big Mac hamburger than some of the Ten Commandments." Isn't that amazing? Continuing, in a new study conducted by Kelton Research in conjunction with the upcoming release of the animated feature film The Ten Commandments, 80% of respondents knew two all-beef patties were among the ingredients of the Big Mac, but only 6 out of 10 could identify "Thou shalt not kill" as one of the Ten Commandments. Also, while 43% of respondents, including those who regularly attend worship, could recall Bobby and Peter, two of the least recalled names from the Brady Bunch, they were less familiar with two of the least recalled commandments. Remember the Sabbath, 34% of them could recall that, and do not make any false idols, 29% could recall that. This gradual erosion of our knowledge of the Ten Commandments is a pretty serious issue, said Paul Lauer, founder and president of Motive Entertainment, the group making the Ten Commandments film. He adds that he was shocked because these were statistics coming from a country that is known as a Christian nation. It is shocking, let's face it. Lauer, along with the makers of the Ten Commandments movie, say they hope the film will inspire Americans to improve their literacy of the Ten Commandments and the Bible. The film was produced by Promenade Pictures. Cindy Bond, president of Promenade Pictures and producer of the animated movie, said her decision to make the Ten Commandments stemmed out of a moral duty for her faith and nation. As a mother, as an industry professional, as a wife, and someone who grew up in a Christian household, I watched the erosion of our values in our society, explained Bond. And that's what's happening. Let's face it. Let's be honest. Let's be truthful. We are seeing an accelerated erosion of our values in our society. And along with that erosion, a disappearance of the knowledge of and obedience to the Ten Commandments of God. And that's just a fact. Continuing with this article, this is one of the most potent quotes from this writing. Quote, "The Ten Commandments are the entire backbone of the reason why the United States was started. It's important to bring back the Ten Commandments to the society," so says Cindy Bond. I couldn't agree more. Let's read that again. "The Ten Commandments are the entire backbone of the reason why the United States was started. It's important to bring back the Ten Commandments to the society." Dr. Ron Wexler, president of the Ten Commandments Commission, which commissioned the survey comparing Americans' knowledge of the Big Mac and the Ten Commandments, also stressed the value of the commandments. He said, quote, "Knowing and living the Ten Commandments empowers people and feeds their souls, while knowing the contents of a famous hamburger at most only feeds the stomach," end quote, said Wexler in a news release. The Ten Commandments Commission is a coalition of churches, synagogues, civic, and community organizations dedicated to keeping America one nation under God. Well, more power to them. And oh, that more people would take the same approach they're taking of upholding, reestablishing, talking about, and following this wonderful law of God called the Ten Commandments. Well, we're going to continue through our series about the Ten Commandments today by concentrating on commandment number 2. But first, let's see what the Apostle John said about God's law, the Ten Commandments. Please get your Bible and follow along so we can study this together and you can read it with your own eyes and believe what you read from the Bible, not just what I say. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2. Here's what the Apostle John said under inspiration of God, way over here in the New Testament. Here's what he said about the Ten Commandments of God. 1 John 5 and verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. They are not burdensome. And by the way, they're not called the 10 suggestions or 10 ideas. They're called the 10 commandments given in love for our good by our great Creator God. Now let's go to the second commandment mentioned over here in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 4. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 4. In the last program of this series, we studied about the first commandment, which is, you shall have no other gods before me, telling us who we must worship. God, and only God. Now we're going to read about the second commandment, which tells us how to worship that one true God. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 4. You shall not make unto you any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down yourself to them, nor serve them. Do not bow down to them, is what the second commandment says. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. So this commandment tells us how to worship the one true God. So many people today believe they need an object, a figurine, a statue, or an aid that they can use to help them in their worship of the true God. This is nothing short of idolatry, and it breaks the second commandment. The Bible is very clear on this subject. Let's see what it has to say. Let's turn over here now to Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 1. Leviticus 26 and verse 1 says this, You shall make you no idols or graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. Our worship of the great God should be face to face, so to speak. Nothing or no one should ever come between our individual personal relationship and worship of our Father in heaven. It's direct. It's between us and Him. We don't need figurines, aids, statues, pictures, or objects to help us along and make God more real. They get in the way, and they take the place of the great God. Now, don't misunderstand, God does not condemn good art, good pictures, and worthwhile photography. All of that becomes sin when they are used in worship of God and used in religious ceremonies. True Christians do not need nor want physical reminders in front of them as part of their worship and obedience to the great God. He's already real to them without all of that. All that does is distract and mislead them. Objects, aids, religious helps get in the way of one-on-one, face-to-face, as it were, worship between the individual and God. And you know the pitfall of such practices, of using these religious helps in worshiping God? They end up being worshiped themselves, and they end up being looked to by the individual rather than Almighty God. That's what the Bible says, and that, in fact, is what happens in actual practice. Let's turn over here now to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. It says in Romans 1 and verse 20, For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Notice verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. It's just amazing what man will come up with as objects of worship, creating images and idols that they bow down to. Everything from frogs to fish to figurines to pictures and even ideas in their minds. All of it breaks the second commandment. Notice verse 25 of Romans 1. Who changed, speaking of the people who do such things, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Those objects and those aids and those helps and those reminders that we post on our walls and put on our dressers and set up on the dashboards of our cars and bow down to at church and look to in religious ceremonies end up being who we focus on, concentrate on, and worship rather than the true God. They come between us and God. They break the second commandment. Quite often, people with good intentions and sincere attitudes will look to a so-called picture of Jesus Christ in their church or in their home. Now, think about this. How can we really know what Jesus Christ looked like? We can't. If you study this subject, you will see an artist will depict him looking one way, and another artist will depict him looking another way, and another will depict him looking yet a different way. Which artist's rendering is correct? It's just their imagination being put to canvas. They don't know what he looks like, and yet people will take those pictures, and they will worship them. And when they think of Jesus Christ, that image comes into their mind. That's breaking the second commandment. We cannot know what Jesus Christ looked like when he was on this earth, and we don't need to, and the Bible doesn't have a picture of him that you can find anywhere in its pages. I can tell you this much, however, the pages of the Bible make clear that the typical picture of Jesus Christ looks nothing like he looked in reality. First of all, the Bible clearly shows that he was Jewish. Let's just turn to a few scriptures in discussing his appearance. Notice Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 14. Hebrews 7 and verse 14. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. Jesus Christ was Jewish. The pictures that you commonly see of him do not look like, nor do they have the features of a typical Jewish man in his 30s. Second of all, Jesus Christ did not have long hair. Once again, the Bible makes that plain. Let's turn over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 14. Now we know that the Bible is inspired of God. It says all scripture is given by inspiration of him. So he inspired this verse right here in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 14. And what did Paul write here? He said, under inspiration of God, does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? Doesn't common sense tell you that? Now, long, well-styled hair on a woman is her glory, but long hair on a man is a shame. That's what it says right here in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 14. So we know Jesus Christ, who set the perfect example for everybody, and he was a man, we know he would not have had long hair, and yet he is pictured as having long flowing hair in the typical image that we're all familiar with. Thirdly, Jesus Christ was a strong, masculine carpenter. He worked outside in the sunshine of Galilee. He would not have been white and effeminate and slight of stature and build. He would be a strong, masculine, rugged Jewish man that was accustomed to hard work and sunshine. And I'll tell you something else. The Bible does not show him as being a really attractive, standout individual. No, he was ordinary and he would blend right into a crowd. Let's just turn over here to Isaiah 53 and verse 2 and notice that. Isaiah 53 and verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form, nor comeliness, or stately form. And when we see him, there's no beauty or appearance that we should desire him. Verse 3, he's despised and rejected. Verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Verse 5, and he was wounded for our transgressions. So it's obviously talking about Jesus Christ. To be sure, he wasn't ugly, but he was a very strong, masculine, powerful, Jewish young man, suntanned and accustomed to work, but he didn't stand out in appearance. However, he was perfect in every way, and he had perfect character, and he never sinned once. But we're talking about his appearance. You can't fit what we just read in God's Word regarding his appearance into the pictures that you commonly see almost everywhere in this world today. And therefore, when we worship that picture, or when we have that image of that picture in our mind and connect it with Jesus Christ, it's false, it's wrong, and it's breaking the second commandment. Now, I'll tell you what we can do. We can find a description of Jesus Christ in the Bible as he appears today. Even it does not get into actual features, and we should not try to imagine what his features are like or who he might resemble. But we can know some of the things about his general appearance, and it's completely different to what typical experts in religion tell us. Let's just read it. Let's turn over here to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 13. Revelation 1 and verse 13. This was John speaking and recording what he saw in vision. And he caught a glimpse in vision of Jesus Christ as he appears today on the right hand of God the Father in heaven. Revelation 1 and verse 13. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, powerful, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. This doesn't sound like a kind of effeminate, mousy individual here. This is the all-powerful, almighty God in heaven, Jesus Christ, by the right hand of the Father. Well, when he was on this earth in the form of a human being, he wasn't a mousy, reticent individual either. He had personality. He had masculinity. He had strength. He was a hard worker. He was outdoors most of the time. He does not fit that image of him that is familiar to us all. It's a false image. And to look to that as if we're looking to Christ and to worship him connected with that false image is breaking the second commandment. Continuing, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 16. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shines in his strength. So we shouldn't have images of Jesus Christ or God the Father either in our minds or in art form or in pictures and photographs often portrayed by actors. That actually diminishes the holiness and the greatness of God. That is a false and wrong practice, and it breaks commandment number 2. In order to really please God and keep all 10 of his commandments, we must worship him in truth, or it is indeed a false worship. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5. Turn there with me. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 5. Speaking of the last times, notice verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And then skip down to verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Having a particular method of worship, a particular kind of ritual that is so comfortable and so familiar and so traditional that we just love the feeling of being a part of the form and the pomp and the circumstance. But what is the substance of the worship? That's what God looks to. He's not concerned about all of this regal splendor and pomp and circumstance and methodology and form of worship. He's more concerned about the substance of worship. What's in our heart? What's in our mind? What do we do as we bow before Him? Do we worship Him in the right attitude and with the right understanding? And when we finish bowing before Him, do we get up and walk with Him and obey Him as we go through our day and our week and our month and our year? That's what God is concerned with. We can read what He wants us to do as we worship Him. And as we follow His instructions in this matter, He's going to abundantly bless us for doing so. And it has to do with keeping the Ten Commandments in the spirit and in the letter. Let's just notice that right over here in John chapter 4 and verse 22. John 4 and verse 22. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. As we've already read, Jesus Christ was a Jew, and salvation comes through Him. So therefore, salvation comes from the tribe of Judah. We're not saying that He practiced the Jewish religion or anything of that kind. His lineage is Jewish. He was the one who established Christianity. Christianity means we worship Christ, and we must do it in the right way or it's unacceptable to Almighty God and to our Savior Jesus Christ. Continuing, verse 23 of John 4. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers. See, I mean, we don't want to be a false worshiper. We don't want to be someone who is not worshiping God in the way that He accepts and in the way that He's pleased with. We don't want to be someone who is just caught in a rut of tradition, and this is how I've always worshiped, and this is the way I worship now, and this is the way I always will worship kind of approach. What if it's wrong? What if it's false? What if it's unbiblical? What if it's not pleasing to God? Well, it's in vain. It's in vain. Did you know you could worship God in vain? He says so. Notice again, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship Him. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. When you really think that through, you know that means we cannot worship Him in truth and break the commandments. That automatically puts us in the category of worshiping Him in vain. And that automatically means He will not accept that kind of worship. So now let's go back to the Ten Commandments. This time let's go to the other place they're listed, all ten of them in order. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 8. As we worship God in spirit and in truth, we must not break the first commandment, which says we are to have no other gods before the true God. We don't let anybody, anything, any idea or concept get in the way of our worship of the true God. Also, we must not break the second commandment. The first commandment has to do with idolatry and who we worship, and it can't be idols. The second commandment has to do with idolatry and the way we worship God, and it cannot include idols. Notice right here in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 8. Now, these are not two commandments combined into one, by the way, as some people teach, and therefore they end up with only nine commandments. These are two separate commandments. The first commandment tells us who to worship. The second commandment tells us how to worship. And this is what it says. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 8. You shall not make you any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above. Now, we've covered that today, if you'll recall what we've gone over. Any likeness, any art form, any image, any picture, any photograph, any object or figurine or statue or aid or help or reminders as we worship God, whether it's in our prayer, our Bible study, church service, whether it's in our mind or something we can see and touch and feel. We're not to have any of that. We only worship the true God in spirit and in truth. He's real. He's there. We talk directly to Him. We think about Him. We meditate on His word. We obey him. We walk with him. And nothing must come in the way of that direct, face-to-face kind of worship of God. That's what he accepts. That's what he wants. He will settle for nothing less than that. And that's what we're being told right here in the second commandment, Deuteronomy 5 and verse 8. You shall not make you any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Verse 9. You shall not bow down yourself unto them, nor serve them. We don't bow before anything or anybody except Almighty God. He's the only true God. That's who we bow before. That's who we kneel to. That's who we look to and worship and praise and serve and obey. Nobody else, nothing else. You shall not bow down yourself unto them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me and that disobey me and that break my commandments, is what he's saying here. But look at this, verse 10, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. I'm going to bless them. I'm going to protect them. I'm going to look after them, and I'm going to guide and direct them, and I will never leave them or forsake them, because they, with all their heart, mind, and soul, love me and worship me in spirit and in truth. That means no idols, no graven images, and no other gods. That means only the one true God worshiped in the one true godly manner, as outlined in his holy word. We have free material we would like to send you on this and many other subjects. All you have to do is request it. Just ask for our free CD on Born Again and Grace and Law. Also, we have an informative magazine entitled Straightforward that is crammed full of very thought-provoking articles and is totally free of charge. You may request Straightforward magazine that will cover many topics about family, prophecy, doctrine, Christianity, and living the abundant life. It's all going to be researched and especially backed up from God's Word. We'll be glad to send this magazine to you, free of charge and without obligation. Straightforward magazine is now available. All you have to do is call our toll-free number at 1-800-581-1317. That's 1-800-581-1317. You can also send your request to Enduring Church of God, Post Office Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758. Or you can go to our website at straightforward.org. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.